Here we go. It's another special edition of the 50-50 podcast, our summer series where we're highlighting events, ID camps, showcases, new coaching hires as well. During the summer of 2021, we are proud, our very first broadcast brought to you by our new title sponsor, College Promoters USA. They are America's premier college prep program and high school student athlete marketing service since 1997. Again, that's College Promoters USA. You can find them on Twitter. You can find them at SATX Recruiting, as well as on Instagram at College Promoters USA, as well as on their website at collegepromotersusa.com. My next guest, he is a coach that I am, I guess you could kind of say I'm kind of sort of linked with, right, Coach? I think you could say that to a certain extent, right? He is the newly selected coach for the El Paso Eastwood High School Troopers here in El Paso, Texas, Coach Brian Carvajal. Coach, how are you?
Good. Happy to be here. Thank you for having me. I'm excited. I haven't done this in a while, so a little nervous and definitely excited to see what this is all about.
Right. Awesome. Well, thank you. We're excited to have you here. Excuse me. We're delighted to have you here. And also, I think as a testament to both yours and my commitment, we're trying to do this while we're also kind of monitoring that Spain-Switzerland game, which is in the 106th minute there in the Euros in the quarterfinal action right now. Game is still tied at one. So we'll promise our listeners that they'll get our best attention. We promise, and we'll give routine updates as well. So, all right, Coach. So before we kind of dive in a little bit, just give us a little bit about how you got here. We know a little bit, tell us a little bit about your story, a little bit about your background and what led you to this point to where you now find yourself here as the head men's soccer coach at Eastwood High School.
Yeah. So I need to go a little bit more back towards when I started, my playing career here. And I played here in the club teams through El Paso. So I've been playing here my whole life. And every time, and this is kind of funny, but everybody always blames the injuries, right? Oh, I didn't make it this far because of injuries, because of this, because of that. And you know what? I tried the playing in Mexico for a little bit, but I knew that education was definitely my thing. So I decided to, you know what? I'm not gonna keep going that route. I'm gonna focus on actually coaching. I think that would be fun. That would be better. I think that's my calling. So from there, that's when I started doing a degree in kinesiology. And I figured, okay, this is a good route. And my degree in biological sciences, which is where I became a teacher in science. After that, I decided, you know what? I need to know a little bit more. I need to continue that education. And that's when I started deciding, you know what? Licenses are important. Reading is important. Talking to other coaches is important. Just being well-rounded in the sport of soccer is very important. And even also looking at other sports. I know I compare and I'll look at other sports and see what I can get from them and all that. But I started thinking, you know what, I need a little bit more licenses. I did the USSF licenses here in the US. I started doing the NSC AA licenses. And you know what, I had really bad luck with the rainouts and all that stuff. So, and I was really young at that time. So I went to go take out, and this is a story. I went to go take that license. I was going for my C license, and I got rained out. I went to Houston, got rained out. I was really young. I didn't have any money. So all that money, everything that I tried went towards that traveling, towards all that. And it just didn't work out for me. I tried it again. Rained out again. I got rained out like three times. So I figured, you know what, let's do a program somewhere else, somewhere where I'm there for those two years. And that's when I started to do the master's over at Ohio. And it was very specific or soccer specific. So I went that route. and the University of Ohio. Did 2 years there. Did my thesis on soccer, and after that, I figured, you know what, I still need a little bit more. So at that point, I thought maybe getting that license, that professional license in Mexico City, that would be the best option as far as, again, staying there those 2 years and not having any interruptions. And I did that. And the last thing that I'm most proud of, I guess, and working towards becoming here a coach, and what you were asking, would be that master's in Spain. I did live in Madrid for a couple years, and I did that master's, and it's in conjunction with Universidad Europea de Madrid with the Real Madrid program. So that was a really good experience as far as working with a bunch of club teams, and then, of course, doing that professional internship there at Real Madrid. So after that, coming back, I thought, you know what, teaching is the way to go, and coaching would be the best next thing. And the thing is, you know what, I was having some trouble here with getting that position, because there's so many coaches, and us coaches will stay there for a long time in the teaching world. So as soon as I got that opportunity, and it all kind of worked out, because I mean, it's the school that I want to be in. So that worked out. What I'm teaching worked out. Everything kind of aligned, the stars and everything aligned, the universe. So now I'm happy to be here, be back, and hopefully get this program started. So that's kind of the route and a little bit about me as far as that soccer road goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. Yeah, it's some great stuff, and being able to put yourself out there, that program through, you know, through Ohio University, which is a really, you know, highly thought of program in the coaching world. And then obviously kind of a lifelong experience, you know, a kind of one in a million experience that you get being able to attend that program there through Real Madrid as well. So that's great stuff. All right. So now here's the loaded question is why Eastwood? Why Eastwood?
You know what? I've been asked that, and I'm going to just say it like this. My favorite teams, and every time that I think of the teams that I like, and just in any sport, I like that big team, that big mentality, that challenge. It's kind of like that team that everyone wants to beat, or it feels good to beat, right? Because they're on top of their game, or on top of their, maybe not the program right now, as far as the soccer program goes, but it, just the school in general. You know what I mean? Just what it feeds off, what it means to be in that school. And I think being in that that pressure, I think that's something that I like a lot. So being at that top where everyone wants to beat you, everyone wants to be better than you, everyone talks about you, that's something that I guess I feed off of a lot. And I'm talking about these big teams, again, like Real Madrid, like any other, you know, sports teams that I'm into, I have that mentality. So that's the biggest reason. Of course, everything had to align, but you know what? That was my first pick all this time. I wish I would be at Eastwood, and it kind of happened that way. So
nice.
I think it has to be that.
Yeah. Well, I guess you could say the being there in the Real Madrid program probably prepped you for this job then, right?
I mean, in some capacity, I hope.
Right, right. No, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, yeah. I guess if you would almost have to kind of be from this area, from El Paso, to understand what you're saying when you're talking about that, as far as in regard to just the school there. So, yeah. So tell us a little bit, have you had a chance? I know it's all been very recent. So have you had a chance to get a chance to meet the team yet? And, you know, kind of what are your initial thoughts so far?
So as far as the team, and this was something that they just announced me as a coach, and right now we're working really hard into meeting the students. So I haven't, I guess, long story short, now I have not. But the idea is that now I have a list. Now I have these students that are trying to join the class, and I think there's 67 plus students that are joined, that are already in the class. So I'm excited. Now I have that information. Now I can go ahead and reach out, maybe give them a phone call, see what they're about, see what they want, what position they play, just little things here and there, get to know them. I think that'll be a great way to kind of introduce myself to them personally, individually. So, yeah, initial thoughts. I mean, they took me around the whole school, the campus, where I would be, I guess, our locker room or our field, and everything looks great. Everything's awesome. I think I'm getting a lot of support as far as whatever I need, whatever it is that we want to change. So that's great. But as far as the kids, I think we're going to have to start working really hard this week, next week, and I mean this summer to just get it going. I know other programs are already or have been practicing and have been going through their program. So I'm a little bit, I guess, behind, but we'll definitely catch up. We have to. So yeah, that's where we stand right now.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. And just an update for everybody. So Spain, Switzerland in the second extra time period, 112th minute. And it looks like Spain just missed. So score still 1-1. So they are, what, about 8-9 minutes plus stoppage time away from going to penalties. So we'll keep updated on that.
You know, Coach, what? You're a little bit ahead of me. So,
Oh, am I? Okay.
I thought someone scored. I'm like, oh no.
No, not yet. Not yet. You'll see a immediate reaction from me. So, all right. So you had talked about playing, kind of continuing to get, you know, the education route, coach, and get that experience. But this is also your first big coaching gig where you're the head honcho, right? You're the head coach. So talk to us a little bit, you know, and I know obviously there's a link there. You know, you were previously an assistant coach at, at Bel Air High School. You were part of that program, part of that coaching staff when you won a state title back in 2019. So congratulations on that, obviously. Well done. Little shameless plug because that's also my alma mater, you know, so I'll share that. But but in addition to that, you know, this being your first coaching gig, from what you've learned along the way, the courses, your experience there at Bel Air, you know, as an assistant on a state title team, you know, what's kind of your philosophy and your kind of your culture thoughts going in?
Yeah. And see, that's the thing. A lot of people tell me like, well, you're going to bring all that, the Real Madrid and this and that. Hey, you know what? It's a little bit more difficult than that or just different than that. I don't have the same players. That's one thing. I don't have the same anything really, right? So that translation is going to have to be a little bit different. And being at the high school level is also something that's a little bit different because obviously our first thought is, when I got hired, obviously our first thing is we're a teacher first, right? So we have to teach. I want to coach. I want to educate, and I definitely want to facilitate every single individual student athlete. Okay, this is a little bit going towards my coaching philosophy, and the way of doing that is challenging them, encouraging, and inspiring. I think those are the three key words that I've used throughout the past. And the thing is that regardless of their playing ability, I mean, we just need to make it work. I think here in El Paso, we're a little bit behind on having those type of periodizations, having that type of technical, strength and conditioning, everything. So just everything, all that, those experiences, I think, putting them forward, really making that periodization, really thinking about the year, really trying to do everything that I've learned or having those key, of course, tailored to those students and the people that I have, that culture is going to make it a successful program. Definitely we're starting from scratch. So that's kind of good because I get to, you know what I mean? Start everything from our values, from our, that culture. I mean, I'm going to say that there has to be some type of culture. That's something that changes with time. But we can definitely change that climate a little bit quicker and then gear ourselves towards being that culture and having that successful team. And again, for me, that success is going to be measured in how many kids we actually have them pursuing a higher education, because we are, again, in a school. Okay, it's not a club team. It's not anything else. So that education is going to be, I think, our key or something that's more important. And then, of course, I think after all that is said and done, I think that the winning and making that program growing, all that is going to be what's going to come after. As far as our culture there and things that I'm thinking about is, it's just that for example, one big thing is in club team, we'll have maybe twice a week. So that's something that I'm very excited, because here in the high school, there's no excuse. We have 5 days a week, and now they're giving us even more time for us to work with them. So that's going to be there's no excuse. Again, you have to periodize. We have to decide science-based what we're working on. If we are going to go the strength and conditioning route, and why not, what type of players we have. The thing is, I still have to meet them. See what we have. I can't just say, okay, we're going to start and we're going to do this formation or do this type of culture if I haven't, I guess, met with the team. I want to see what they feel, how they want to kind of move forward. I want to give them that liberty of having a little bit of choice, at least, mm-hmm. On that regard. I think it'll keep that leadership that I want a little bit more in sync and all that. So.
Gotcha. Okay. So, you know, and you just alluded to it a little bit just a second ago, in terms of culture and prepping and seeing what you have, getting to meet kids. You know, so, you know, we look at last year. I know you're well aware of it, right? Kind of, mm-hmm. you know, bottom of the table, right, in district, 3-11 overall. Where do you begin when you kind of initially start assessing? Because we all know you step into a new program, it's a lot of heavy lifting on the culture and implementation side, right? So, you know, where do you think you begin when you look at kind of the recent, you know, the recent standing of the program to when you first get to meet them and start training with them?
Yeah, I think the best thing is, and this is one of the things that we've talked about, or I've talked about with other coaches, and we have some data there in, what is it, Max Prep, and I kind of have to go based off on that whenever you're going into a new program and kind of what you hear from other people and maybe ex-coaches. And according to Max Prep and just the amount of goals that they scored on us and and how it happened and at what time it happened, I think the best thing or wherever we would need to start, and of course it would be building all those values and having those goals, but I think the main thing right now would be that defense, sitting up from the back and really having to lower that amount of goals scored against us. And I think that's a good way to start. I think if we begin, maybe not right trying to score that many, but not getting scored on is going to alleviate a lot of that problem in that middle half, and you know, for us to start gaining a little bit of that, having that ball control a little bit more. But usually from what I saw, again, it would be like towards the end of the half or the second half where they would start scoring a lot. So maybe there's also something with that strength and conditioning, or more so the conditioning part, where we wouldn't finish those games at top shape, I guess. So getting them ready for that, setting up that periodization would be, I think, the main thing where to start from. Yes.
Right. And, you know, I guess truth be told, last year it's a very, very mixed bag in terms of trying to assess data, right? In terms of, because last year was just so unprecedented, so out of the ordinary in terms of losing players on top of the, you know, the injuries or whatever, whether it's grades or what have you, you know, and then you had, you know, the COVID cloud hanging over everybody, right? So it was just a true from preparation, preseason, through the season, all the way, you know, to the end, it's hard to assess, you know, 100% truly accurate data. So yeah, so okay, so you know, you're going to be, you compete in District 1-6A, which is a very tough district. You know, it includes the, you know, one of the state semifinalists from this past season and Eastlake, very good squad. What are your initial thoughts when you kind of assess the competition there in 1-6A?
Yeah, I mean, it is going to be tough. I think, excuse me. We need to work on what we can manage, what we can change, what we can I guess, improve first before I guess we can go in and start pinpointing and looking at other teams. I think it's going to have to start with us, everything. Again, setting up, just having these kids work, having these kids get excited for that, right? Again, you mentioned that 0-9 in the district. I mean, just getting excited about this new program, believing in the program, believing in what my education is what's going to help them as far as the coaching goes. But it's ultimately also a team effort, and these kids have to buy into that program, right? So, yeah, looking into all the other teams, and I think everyone did really well. I think it was just us that didn't do that well. So, yeah, again, I think I'm going to have to start, and I keep saying this, starting with the defense, starting at the back end, and really, really seeing what's going on. Why did we get scored on so much, and how can we stop that? As far as you know what, if we have to play with a defensive line of five to get it started, that, you know what, that's what it's going to be. But it's just, these teams are tough. And you know what, coaching in the club team, I met a lot of these players. I know a lot of these East Lake players. I know they had a lot of seniors that were great that graduated. So there's also that. All the teams are losing players. All the teams maybe, I don't know, we have kids coming from the other side of the border in our demographics, just in teams in general. Maybe they couldn't cross over. Maybe, I don't know, maybe that pandemic, maybe all that was limiting us. I know we've had really good, you know what, I need to talk a little bit more of our kids. We've had really good years with really good players. We've had the players. Maybe we're lagging a little bit on the coaching aspect, but as far as the players, they're there and they're ready. So I mean, it's going to come within us, definitely. I can't worry too much about the rest. I need to worry about us first before we can start looking into everything else.
Yeah. You know, so the next one, what are your tell us a little bit, talk a little bit about what you know and what you're looking forward to in terms of just your thoughts on not just the district, but, you know, the high school soccer scene here in the borderland and in El Paso, but also how that ties in and what you're looking forward to as far as kind of like the history and the kind of the passion of that Eastwood community.
Yeah. And you know what, we've had,
and by the way, I don't know if you're still behind, but they're getting ready to go to penalties. So
yeah. That's going to be nerve-wracking right now, but
sorry about that.
Go ahead. Yeah, no problem. It's just, you know what, we've had some good years, and again, it's that I think we're a little bit, I guess, bummed out with that year with everything that happened, and it's just trying to get out there, coming back. I guess the excitement is just everything, just being able to be out there and coaching a full team, being able to coach the 5 days, having a varsity team, a JV team, something where we can control all the vertical alignment as far as our freshman team, our middle schools, so it's a big program. I mean, and there's always good kids. I always think, you know what, if I had Eastwood, and I've said this before, if I had Eastwood, you know, we there's no excuse. We have to do good. We have the players. So now that I have it, I think it's just you can't talk too much, but we have to see, right? We have to see those results. We have to see and really, again, hope that everyone buys into the program, and I know they will. I know we're very excited. I know kids have been reaching out, other coaches that want to coach. So as far as that history and all that, I mean, we kind of need to turn it around. It's been a couple years that there hasn't been much. And I think this change is what's going to bring that. It's a good change. It's at a good time. So, yeah, we're hoping that it's exciting as far as, you know, with all the other teams and just playing these good teams that we have to face. It's always going to be a challenge. And, I mean, that's what this is all about. That's the fun part. So.
All right. So as we start transitioning here, Coach, I know because you're going to stick around with us for a second segment, our counterattack segment. But as we start transitioning here, what can we expect? You know, you got coaches, parents from that Trooper Nation community listening. What can we expect from the Eastwood Troopers in year one, your year one?
It has to be that leadership, that organization, that it just has to be a all around. I'm not going to say change, but I mean, we're going to have to see a lot in order to improve this program. And I think the main thing is maybe building that team. I know we've had a lot of, again, individual players, individual students doing different things, or at least student athletes, maybe not a tune, not in the program, not as a team. And I think that the main thing would be making that team, believing in ourselves, believing in each other, and just creating a big team, making it something to feel proud of. I think that's something that needs to come back. And I mean, we were talking about that history and all that, but you know what? We need to start with that history, I think, now. You know what I mean? Like, it's moving forward, I think, now, as far as everything back, getting all these people excited, all these kids. So that change, that biggest change, is going to have to be that. I mean, just going trying to improve on every level, as far as goal scoring. So, goals not. Yeah, sorry, I just saw that one.
Yeah, no. I saw it about 30 seconds ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. I was like, I saw your face. I'm like, I don't know what happened.
Yeah. But
yeah, definitely that. So the biggest change is that having a team, making sure that everyone believes in this program. And I think that'll be good.
Mm-hmm. Great. Good stuff. So, all right. So 1-0 Switzerland after one series there in penalties. So we'll keep everybody updated on that. All right, Coach. So we're going to transition here. We're going to transition to our counterattack segment. It's where we get to pick on you a little bit, have some fun with you while both you and I are partially distracted here. So
these questions. So we'll see.
You'll have fun. You'll do well. Just kind of random stuff, rapid fire stuff. It's kind of first thing that comes to mind. Don't search for the super deep philosophical yearbook answer. Just what kind of comes to mind. And I will ask right after this penalty, the second penalty for Spain, which is good. All right. So, training session or game day superstitions or rituals?
None. No superstitions. No, the rituals has to be music. I have music all the time. We feed off of this music, and so that's a nice penalty. And superstitions, none.
Never. Gotcha. Okay, good. All right. Emojis, yes or no? You an emoji guy?
No.
None at all? All right. Use that one easy. I think you're the first one. Everyone else so far, when I ask them that they tend to be an emoji person. So,
you know what? Right. I do the GIF. I don't know if it counts the same way, or is it GIF or is it GIF? So I like those things.
I think officially, I think it's technically GIF, but I think you can call it either one. But there seems to be a lot of confusion on that. So
yeah.
All right. Last book you read or are currently reading?
I'm actually reading Mi Árbol de Navidad from Carlos Ancelotti. When I was there in Madrid, he was there, and now he's the coach again. So that's kind of kind of fun going back to reading that. I had already read it before, but that's what I'm currently on again.
So. And what was that again for our listeners? El Árbol qué?
Mi Árbol de Navidad.
Mi Árbol de Navidad. Okay,
good. De Navidad. So it's his Christmas tree, and that has to do with the formation, the 4-3-2.
Right. Good deal. All right, favorite movie quote?
Oh, Jesus. That's... you know what? I have so many, and putting me on the spot like this, that's... Yeah,
what's the one, which is the one coming to you right now?
I'm lost on that one. I'm lost. I do a lot of the Ace Ventura nonsense, so...
All right. One thing, so tomorrow... All right, Coach Brian Carvajal is appointed the czar of soccer in the United States. All right, so You're in charge of all of soccer. What's one thing you'd change tomorrow in the soccer in America tomorrow? What's one thing you'd change?
Oof. You know what? That's a topic for like 10 hours or more. That's
you can only pick one. You can only pick one.
It has to be the setup of how we bring in our kids. In Europe, they do it really different, and it works. And here, it's so big, it's so massive that it's really hard. It's very difficult. But if I could change the setup as far as the age groups and where they play and all that, if it was just kind of like European style, we'd do a lot better. Our national team would be amazing, I think. And
yeah. Okay. Good. So apparently it seems like nobody wants to win between Spain and Switzerland.
Nobody wants.
1-1 in penalties after three kicks.
Can I ask you a question, Coach?
Yeah, absolutely.
Who are you rooting for, Switzerland or Spain?
Oh, in this match, it's Spain. Spain's like they're one of my, you know, closely connected to me, you know, in terms of have a very soft spot for them for a number of reasons, obviously.
Yeah.
Maybe not as much with this particular group since there isn't a single, you know, I'm a big Real fan. So since there isn't
there
a single.
There you go. That's exactly what I was going to say. I was like, you know what? I always root for Spain. I lived there for a while, but right now, I don't know. And I'm glad you're a Real Madrid fan. That's exciting.
Yeah, no, for sure. So, yeah, so I have mixed feelings about this particular group. But, you know, so we have Mr. Papo Sakuritis here, S.A. Crimson Idol, talking about Spain's penalty kicks in the comments. And, you know, I was just talking with him earlier today about how what's scary about this particular Spain group is – they still haven't really figured things out, and they've scored 11 goals in their last three games, you know, so that's what's kind of scary, you know, all right, so next question. So it looks like we have Spain's ahead, and I think could
just missed it.
So Spain could clinch it here, so we'll stand by. I think I'm a few seconds ahead of you, Coach, so I'll give my best impersonation of a play-by-play guy, so. And it appears I can't see who this is that's coming up since we have no audio. I didn't get a good look at him, but he's getting ready to go. He's on the spot. So this would seal it for Spain to advance to the semifinal round.
And I think they would play, is it the winner of today, the next game?
Yeah, the other game today, today's game, yeah.
That's
so Belgium and Italy, because this is the heavy side of the bracket, mm-hmm. right? If I'm not mistaken, I think this is the heavy side of the bracket, or so I might have to double check that though. So, and they're through. Spain has it officially advanced. So, all right. So another comment here from SA Crimson Idol. What dream pre-district game would Coach Carvajal like to schedule for this upcoming season? So a preseason, a non-district game, basically, would you like to schedule for this upcoming season? You know, you look around the state, maybe?
I think so. I think I'd look around. I definitely want to play Eastlake. I know they're the team right now to beat. They did really, really well.
Well, you're going to see them twice. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know we have, I think we have three preseason games. So definitely I would go outside to really challenge these kids and let's see how Eastlake looks. And even I wouldn't mind playing back with a 5A, because 5A schools are also very tough. And I would like to play Bel Air, obviously. That would be kind of fun.
There you go.
So,
there you go. Yeah, without a doubt, yeah. For those of you not in the, you know, borderland area, El Paso region, not familiar with rivalries, you know, historically speaking, they very few of them get bigger than, you know, Bel Air and Eastwood. You know, you have your Battle of the Claw, Austin and El Paso. You know, you have a couple of others. You know, you can say whether you say Bowie and Jeff. Yeah, you have a couple of different ones. You know, but. But yeah, that would be pretty awesome to watch to see.
Yeah. For sure.
All right, Coach. So continuing with our counterattack segments, who would play you in a movie? any actor out there, they're making a movie about your life, who would play you tomorrow? They don't have to look like you, but just kind of, hey, you like them, their acting style, or you think you relate to them, whatever.
I think I like Leo DiCaprio. I think that would be DiCaprio. Great. Yeah.
I think you're the second one to say that. I think you're the second one. Yeah. All right.
Really?
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Bucket list destination. Place you'd want to, you know, before it's all said and done, right? Before you kind of kick the bucket, right? You and the wife, you and the family, what have you, whatever. Where's a bucket list destination?
You know what? We've been holding off, I've been trying to go to Japan and Thailand, and we've been trying to go every year, and one thing or another happens. So I think it's going to have to be that Japan and Thailand. That'd be awesome. I've never been. So
nice. Nice. Awesome. You have to see if you can visit the old, what is it? The Panyi FC or FC Panyi, you know, what I'm talking about.
We had our tickets, we had everything lined up, everything going, and then it was COVID year, so now I lost all that. So
of course. Yeah. All right. So speaking of COVID, right, it's kind of inevitable. We try not to make it much about COVID, but it's impossible for it not to come up. During this time, right, we're what, 15, 16 months in, 17 months, somewhere in there now, I've kind of lost track, into the start of the pandemic to where we find ourselves now as we're kind of slowly coming out of it. What's been either, whether it's Netflix or something else, what's been your favorite series that you've been able to binge watch out of everything you've binge watched? What's been your favorite series?
I've been watching all the Star Wars, the new Star Wars stuff that came out, the cartoons, and I've just been going through all that. Star Wars is one of my favorite, I guess, movies and stuff too. Yeah, take me somewhere else, and I think I've been watching that, the new series and all that with the droids and all that now. So yeah.
Okay. All right. Morning or night person?
Night, definitely.
All right. Good deal. All right. We'll come back to this one because you were stumped by it earlier. Favorite movie quote? Anything? Favorite movie quote? Anything?
I don't know. There's just so many. Yeah, okay.
I thought maybe once you mentioned the Star Wars, something would come to you, but okay. Yeah. Okay. So, all right. Final question. This one I asked to everybody, right? So when we're completely, fully out of the pandemic, right? You have everybody's coming over to your place, local family that's in the area, family from out of town, big, gigantic family, you know, Sunday family dinner. You're the chef. What are you cooking?
You know what? I love pasta. I love pasta. I love to put a lot of meat on that, and that's what it would be. It has to be. I don't know if they'll like it, but I definitely, and maybe even a piece of steak on the side. Just I love meat.
Yeah, awesome. That's good stuff. Good stuff. Well, Coach, this has been great. You've been a great sport as well, and I know both you and I are. We're tackling this, getting this done. We're also trying to track the Euro quarterfinal matchups. You got the Italy-Belgium matchup, which is the one I'm excited for. Italy is very much one that's kind of very close to my heart because it's where, you know, it's where I lived for about 2.5 years. Uh-huh. And it's where, you know, it's where I trained, got to play some semi pro ball while I was there. So love watching them play, and I think this is going to be a great matchup between them and Belgium. What are your thoughts on this game, Belgium and Italy?
I've been rooting for Italy since the beginning. I think it was awful not making it to the World Cup this last time, and I also frequent Italy. It's one of my favorite places to travel to, and watching games and all that. So I'm rooting for them, but it's going to be a tough game. It's going to be one of those. I mean, Belgium is doing really good. So I don't know if Italy has enough arguments to win it, to win this game. I'm not too sure from what I saw previously. But if something clicks, maybe this game, if you have that luck, if you have that little bit of everything, I think they might. I don't know. Hopefully the not being in the World Cup will drive them towards wanting to win this a little bit more than Belgium. And that, I've been to Belgium once, so I don't have much from there to say, but
yeah. Okay. Great. Yeah. No, it'll make for a great matchup for sure. So
what about you? Who's going to win it?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Who's going to win this game? Who are you rooting for?
My concern, you don't know how healthy Hazard is for Belgium. You can tell, obviously, you know, De Bruyne's not at 100%, and De Bruyne's really, he's the one that makes them go. You know, if he's in form, if he's feeling it, the team follows, you know. And you know, Lukaku was largely ineffective in that last matchup.
Yeah.
And the big thing, so it's who adjusts, it's that precision counterattack capability and quick ability to strike from Belgium versus that, you know, historically speaking, that very good, solid defense from Italy. What's different about this Italy squad is they can score, right? They're not satisfied with just going up on you 1-0 and then they just defend, you know. But I think for Italy to win this, it's going to take, they're going to have to show some of that attack that they've been showing recently. They're going to have to be patient with it in breaking down Belgium. But for Italy to win it, I think they're going to have to resort to that kind of traditional lockdown defense style.
Yeah,
exactly. So it'll be interesting. It'll be and then of course, you know, when you look at it from the perspective of when games are this close, this tight, and you're this far into a tournament now, then you start also looking at what I think a lot of people forget is, you know, the coaching matchups and the adjustments, right? You have, you know, Roberto Mancini, and you know, Roberto Martinez, who's or Carlos Mancini, I should say. But Roberto Martinez, who I'm a big fan of, and his ability to know his players, know the pulse of his team, and make adjustments. So depending upon how that first half plays out, you know, what adjustments are made at halftime, it'll be very interesting. I think this will be very much a very strategic tactical match.
That's what I was going to say. It's a little bit more of a chess game on this one, and it's going to be very close matchup. Hopefully a good game. Hopefully it's not a blowout, and then we're just left with all that excitement that we had.
right. No, I don't see that, but who knows? So all right, Coach. Well, hey, this has been great. Thank you for your time. We appreciate having you on. Before we let you go though, any final words, any final thoughts, anything you want to share? You know, we have coaches, players, parents, you know, college coaches as well, listening from not just all over the state, but across the country, not just here in the borderland, here in El Paso. But any final thoughts, anything you kind of want to share?
Well, no, just, you know what, I am very excited to start this new program. I hope those of you guys that are listening, hopefully you guys kind of keep track or remember this school a little bit and see where we're doing. I mean, how we're doing in the next year, maybe see if we did improve, see what changed, what didn't. And I would love to come back and have a talk here again. Maybe those thoughts of what worked, what didn't. I mean, I don't know any other segments that you have and all that, but it's always fun to have that self thoughts on how that year went and how that all panned out and if it did work and if it didn't, if I was effective or if I wasn't as a coach and what we need to change. So again, I'm very excited. I was very happy to be brought to this. I had fun, so that was great. Anytime I'm here. And the coaches out there, just the last thing would be keep learning. This never stops. I never have enough. I mean, just having these talks with other coaches is always the best thing and the way we learn. And if we remain stagnant, if we don't continue our licenses, continue reading, continue watching these games, and not just watching them as far as other fun, we had a great time, but really analyzing what's going on. I think that's what's going to make us better, of course, in the long run. And if I can help anybody, if anyone wants to help out, I mean, I'm here. I have no problem with that. So I'm excited. I'm happy.
Great stuff, Coach. We appreciate that. Again, this is our very first broadcast, our very first our episode from our summer series, our 2021 summer series, where we're highlighting, you know, the showcases, different ID camps, new coaching hires. We're glad to have you on, Coach. We wish you the absolute best there at Eastwood in year one and beyond. And our broadcast again today is brought to you by our new partners, our proud partners, College Promoters USA. They are America's premier college prep program and high school student athlete marketing service since 1997. And again, you can check them out on Twitter at SATX Recruiting, as well as on Instagram at College Promoters USA, and on their website at collegepromotersusa.com. One of the questions I often get is like, hey, again, where can we find, in addition to the live broadcast on Twitter and YouTube, where can we find your podcast? So again, we are the 50-50 podcast is a member of the Day in the Life TV network. So quickest way, whether you're on the big ones, obviously, whether you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, just go search A Day in the Life : Unplugged. Again, that's A Day in the Life : Unplugged. And just look for the 50-50 podcast. That's where you'll find us. So again, Coach, thank you for everything. Best of luck to you and your boys in year one. And again, for our listeners, continue to download, continue to support, get out there, support the high school scene, support the game in the state of Texas and beyond. And until the next time, keep downloading and keep listening.